God bless everyone. This is Joe. Today I'd like to share a few things about the wise men and the gifts that they brought to the young child Jesus. Recently I was asked the question, well, who were the wise men? And what was the significance of the three gifts that the wise men brought? And it spurred some study and going back and different things from the past to bring this together. And I'd like to do a two-part teaching about the wise men and the gifts that they brought. And, you know, with some biblical insight and perspective, it helps all of us learn and to really see what occurred, what really happened during this time of Jesus' birth and his first couple of years of life. And it also will help us give proper respect to the people that were involved with all this and to these accomplishments. And as things have it, this, among so many other things in God's Word, has been downplayed and reduced to a little manger scene and a little of this and a little of that and, you know, some gifts that were given. And it's just not the way it really happened. And it was such a big magnitude of what happened. It was so shocking to the Jerusalem community that they were flabbergasted and did not know what to do when the wise men showed up asking, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And that's what I'd like to share about. And to do that, to get answers to these questions, we start in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to be going back and forth here in Matthew chapter 2, but we're also going to be looking into Daniel and some things that will help really paint a good picture and open this subject up in a better perspective. There's always more to learn too, but this will help open it up and give us that better perspective and insight to what really occurred. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. This is the wise men from the east. Matthew chapter 2, I'd like to read verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship. Well, the wise men came from the east. They came during the time in the days of Herod the king. And at that time that Jesus was born, they asked the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Well, their reason for coming and asking this question, it was because they had seen something. They saw, and it's translated into English, his star in the east. And they have been studying the stars, the planets, and their meanings. They also were aware of the prophecy concerning Jesus' first coming. They believed that his birth, the birth of the king, had occurred. They came to pay homage. They came to worship. These Babylonian wise men often traveled as ambassadors to honor newly enthroned royalty and even kings. They were highly trained in astronomy, diplomacy, and royal protocol. So this was a huge deal. And this is what came to Jerusalem. They, with their entourage. So to better understand it, we need to study God's Word. We need to not just take it for face value, what some mental image comes up in our mind, but we need to go to God's Word. And we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3 to start looking at this whole subject about where these wise men came from. How did they come to know what they knew? That they so boldly went to Jerusalem. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Yeah. So let's take a visit to the time of Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar. And to better understand who these wise men were, how many there were, where exactly they came from in the east, their purpose in traveling, and what the gifts presented to Jesus were, we need to take a trip ourselves. And that's why we're going to take a trip to Daniel chapter 3 in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, I'd like to read verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Well, here, I'm going to paint a picture about Nebuchadnezzar the king. He was the king over Babylon at this time, and he was into idolatry, made an idol of this statue. His kingdom was incredibly wealthy. He had an idol made of gold. It was over 60 feet tall. It was over 18 to 20 feet in diameter. That's a lot of gold. And I'm sharing this with you just to show you where King Neb was at spiritually and also how wealthy his kingdom was. He was into idolatry, and he was very wealthy. His whole kingdom was. And now we can go to Daniel chapter 4. And in Daniel chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. And in verse 7, then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Well, the Babylonian wise men were also called magi. That's magi comes from the word magician. And this little blurb that I'm going to do now is about King Nebuchadnezzar's magicians and astrologers. They were the wise men who are spoken of here in Daniel. The magicians and astrologers specifically were among the group of religious people. They followed astronomical events in the constellations, the planets, and in the stars. And this is part of the Zoroastrianism. It's an Eastern religion. Zoroasters. You can look it up. Zoroaster. And learn a lot about this. But none of these followers of the Zoroaster religion could make the meaning known. And that's why I'm sharing this with you. This is about Nebuchadnezzar and his wise men. They couldn't make known the dream. Well, verse 8, we're still in Daniel chapter 4, verse 8, enter the man of God Daniel, at least into this teaching. He was already there in chapter 1. But the man of God Daniel, in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 8, but at the last, Daniel came in before me, before Nebuchadnezzar, after all the magicians and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers and astrologers. They couldn't give the king an answer about his dream. Then Daniel comes in. He came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar. And the king Nebuchadnezzar had changed his name when these Judeans were taken captive back in Genesis chapter 1 and brought into the Babylonian kingdom. That's how Daniel came into this kingdom. And his name was changed to Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, and he told him the dream. So what happens is that Daniel interpreted the dream as the spirit of God within him revealed the information. Daniel was an Old Testament Judean believer who was captured and taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And so we need a little bit of insight in who Daniel was. And to do that, we need to go back a couple of chapters to Daniel chapter 1, because we just read chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Now let's go back to chapter 1, and I'd like to read verses 17 to 21. Daniel chapter 1 verse 17. As for these children, God gave them, these four children, and this is Daniel with three of the children that were with him at the time. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. It's like they had this preparatory period after they were taken captive. They were brought into Babylon and they were schooled in how the Babylonian kingdom was and the proper protocol. And the king wanted to see them. And the prince of the eunuch brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 19, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These were his three friends. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued, well, that was verse 20 and verse 21. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. So this was a big deal, wasn't it? We just read verses 17 to 21 of Daniel chapter 1. And it was during this time period that Daniel was brought before King Nebuchadnezzar to meet him. And because of God's presence through Holy Spirit upon them, Daniel and his three friends had 10 times more understanding than all the king's wise magicians and astrologer wise men. Okay, so what's happening then? Well, O King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And I want to read verses, Daniel chapter 2 verse 1. And we'll read a couple more verses in Daniel chapter 2. But God reveals the dream to Daniel. First off here in Daniel chapter 1, the king got to meet Daniel and his three friends. And he saw how wise they were. And the king kept Daniel close to him after that. He also gave him jobs to do and a lot of stuff that Daniel helped take care of in the kingdom. And so now King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And in Daniel chapter 2 verse 1, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherein his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. He had some sleepless nights. And this was the second year of his reign. Verse 27, this is after Daniel was brought in and after the king told the astrologers, the magicians and soothsayers to dream. They couldn't answer it. They couldn't give him a reason for it, what it was. Then they brought Daniel in. In verse 27 of Daniel chapter 2, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." This is of telling the future, what shall be in the latter days. That's pretty amazing that God would reveal this to Nebuchadnezzar. It was a secret, it was hidden to him. He heard the words, but he did not know the meaning. Now Daniel's going to give him the meaning, because Daniel then says in verse 28, "Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." And Daniel proceeded to tell him the dream. Well, the king often had troubling dreams that he did not understand. Daniel was the man who could interpret the king's dream. No one else was able to do this. Now, I want to make that point, that they couldn't do that, but they were around Daniel, all these soothsayers, Chaldeans, astrologers, magicians, so-called wise men. And they were wise in all kinds of knowledge, just not knowledge of God's word, unless they heard God's word but could not understand it. And there was a lot of this going on. In fact, concerning the prophecy of Jesus Christ's first coming, we'll see later that these wise men had that understanding about that. They knew of it, and they followed what the signs were to do, but they did not know the exactness of it and the total meaning of it until much later. And this is what happens with people also that don't know God's word. They may hear of it, but they don't understand it until it's revealed to them. And only God reveals his word to people. And he does that as he works in the hearts and lives of his people that know his word and have Holy Spirit, like in the Old Testament, upon them. Or us now, Christians, we have the gift of Holy Spirit within us. And we can make known the secrets as they're made known unto us. Well, that's pretty cool, I think. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar promoted Daniel over the Babylon kingdom after Daniel revealed the secret things of Nebuchadnezzar's dream to him that he had in Daniel chapter 2. And continuing in chapter 2, I'd like to read verse 48 and 49, Daniel chapter 2, verse 48. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Sure. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. See, the king kept Daniel close by, but he also set the other three men, and these are the men that got thrown in the fiery furnace. He set them over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So now we have godly men running the affairs of the kingdom of Babylon. Well, what do you think about that? What do you think about? And we'll look as the teaching goes on, we'll look in Hebrews chapter 11 about subduing kingdoms and some other things there. And so, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego now over the affairs of the province of Babylon, they have a fiery obstacle. And we'll look at Daniel chapter 3. You can go to chapter 3 and we'll read verses of 27 through 30. But as a result of Daniel's wisdom with God's presence in his life, Daniel was made ruler over the whole province of Babylon. He kept close to the king. He was made ruler over the whole kingdom. And this is how the whole kingdom of Babylon began to learn about the God of Israel. And they also may have been learning other things through other men of God previously, but here they really start to learn about the God of Israel. Many obstacles arose in attempts to stop Daniel, to stop Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to stop them from worshiping the one true God. One of these obstacles was when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And that's where I'd like to read verses 27 through 29 of Daniel chapter 3. And the princes, governors, and captains, and king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They saw that. They were trying to kill them. They wanted to have their own glory, worship their own idolatrous gods. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel refused to worship anything but the one true God. And that's who they spoke of. That's what they taught about. That's how they lived accordingly. And now these three men, they had no issues with the fire. In verse 28, the Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him," because there was an angel in the fire with them, because there were four in the fire, not just three. And he was with them. "And hath changed the king's words and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore," King Nebuchadnezzar said in verse 29, "I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." So, how about that? Yeah. So, and that's when, in verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They were promoted, but it was God that was behind it. Whenever you have the working of God's dunamis power, it is very evident, and it causes great things to happen. God protects his people. It causes them to shine when all the obstacles look like it's going the other way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the Judean men thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not worship the idol gods of Nebuchadnezzar. Even the 60-foot-tall gold one out there in the plain of Dura. Like Daniel, these three men refused to not worship the one true God. They were going to worship the one true God no matter what. They were saved from the fiery furnace and then promoted to high ranks in the Babylonian kingdom. Well, Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, was also placed over the whole realm of Babylon by the new king, because in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3, the word says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Well, I thought Nebuchadnezzar already did that. Yeah, but that was Nebuchadnezzar, king number one. Then Nebuchadnezzar's son, king number two, came into being. And now this is Darius. He's the third king. And Darius set him over the whole realm. And so the king's wise men and counselors and princes and presidents were always trying to get rid of Daniel, always trying to get rid of the other three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So each time a new king came into being and they were ruling, they pretty much set them back over the rulership, gave them their rulership back over. And God did some incredible, crazy things. Sure, we'll look at that in Daniel chapter 6, because these two previous kings, the two Nebuchadnezzar kings, they were dead, and their reigns had ended. The new king Darius set Daniel over the whole realm of the kingdom of Babylon. King Darius' wise men, they were just upset about it. They tried to get Daniel killed now by throwing him into the lion's den. It didn't work with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. But in Daniel chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, we see that my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth so they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. You see, we are blameless. We are innocent before our Heavenly Father. And when the powers that be out there in this world try to clamp down on us with the lion's mouth, the lion's roar, the lion's mouth, all the fear and all the lies, God protects us too. Just like with Daniel. Daniel said, I've done no hurt. I haven't done anything. I'm innocent. And got right up there by the lion's mouth, but there's an angel that stopped him from biting down. Oh yeah. Verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. See, the king made a rule, a law, and he made it because of the devilishness of the people that were in charge and how they coerced him into, through trickery, to write something that could not be undone. And so it was pinned into law. And so when you think about laws and rules and mandates of men and traditions of men and what they try to do, they fall to the ground before the one true God. And thank God for that. And this fell to the ground. So the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, the lion's den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And then they threw the men that caused all this into the lion's den, and the lions had lunch. It is because Daniel believed in his God, no manner of hurt was found upon him. And that was God's doing. That was the dunamis power of God working. Daniel held fast to his righteousness. I want to share this verse in Ezekiel about that, because we're seeing now a little bit about this whole kingdom and Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel's entrance into it and how that God's word started to be taught and shared to the whole kingdom. And not only Daniel, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego became leaders in all of these provinces and over the whole kingdom of Babylon. Yes, it was still full of idolatry. It still had all the princes and presidents and the the charlatans and soothsayers doing their thing, trying to cause problems, trying to get rid of good, trying to get rid of truth. But because of what God was able to do, his word still had preeminence, and these men were protected. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14. In Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14 says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. It's so worthy of note that Noah, Daniel, and Job were noted by their righteousness. Their righteousness. They believed in the one true God. They believed that they were right before him because of the word that they knew, and they never let it go. They always held fast to it. They always trusted that God would deliver them. And we just saw how Daniel trusted in that, and that he would live no other way. There's many more things about Daniel. The same is true with Noah and Job, which we're not going to get into now. We've looked at some of those things already in past teachings. You can maybe do a Boolean search at rbrc.us under Holding Fast, or Noah, Daniel, Job, and those teachings will come up. But Daniel believed God. Daniel believed God's word and in his righteousness. He never stopped believing in God and his righteousness, no matter what kind of horrible lions or fiery furnace lay in front of him and his men. God delivered Daniel because of his stand on believing and in the righteousness and deliverance of God. And there's so many things that we all go through in life. I kind of feel like sometimes it's the ping pong effect, where we're just bouncing around from one thing to another, or things are coming into our lives, and yet they all have an end. Everything has a season to it, and then it's over. And at the end of it, we can say, I hold fast to my righteousness. I will not let it go. This is just a nuisance in the days of our lives, what we go through, because this earth is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Yeah. Daniel chapter 6 still, I'd like to read verses 25 to 27. God delivered Daniel. And when God delivered Daniel, it was more than just him delivering Daniel, because King Darius did something. Daniel chapter 6, verse 25 through 27. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivered and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Yeah, it's true. This king was saying this to the whole kingdom. He wrote unto all the people, all the nations, and all the languages. They translated into all the different languages that dwell in all the earth. It probably went way out past Babylon. That's how big this is that went on with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God's presence finally getting into the kingdom of Babylon. And after Daniel came out of the lion's den unhurt, King Darius spoke of the living God's kingdom that would not be destroyed. Well, think about that when you think about the wise man born king of the Jews. Yeah, think about that. So they started learning about this other kingdom. Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar also spoke of the same. It's referred to in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'd like to read of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33 and then 39, because faith subdues kingdoms. Faith subdues kingdoms. This happens in many, many ways. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. In verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. It was well before Jesus came, that he was born into this world. They obtained a good report through faith. A good report. God found them righteous. God witnessed that they held fast to their righteousness. They were saved by their righteousness, by their belief. That is the safest place that anybody could ever be, by holding fast to their righteousness. Hold fast to your righteousness, no matter what you go through in life. Through your faith and behavior, through your faith, your practical application of God's word, it subdues the enemies. It subdues kingdoms. Yeah, they may still be acting out and still be into the idolatry and stuff, but the kingdom subdued. It's back down, and God's word has free course. Righteousness can be wrought, worked, and made available. God loves his righteousness, who he is, to be made known to all. The promises being obtained. The speaking of God's word brings promises into reality. And this here is referring to, in part, the promise of the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was born into this world, born in a manger. To stop the mouth of lions, anything that would aggress against you, stopped, dead in its tracks. Love it. You see, Daniel refused to unmix his faith from the truth of God's word. It is in this way that whole kingdoms can hear about and believe in the one true God. As you go out as leaders in areas of concern, interest, and need, you go out holding forth God's word. Believe in the one true God. Let people hear about it. Be that living epistle that the word speaks of in the epistles. Daniel was an incredible example of this. The Babylonian kingdom had been subdued at this time by this type of faith in action, where God's word could have free course. Righteousness had been wrought, promises obtained, and the mouth of lions stopped. And so the wise men started to learn about the promises. They started to obtain these promises into their thinking process. No matter how much they understood of it, no matter if there was a man or woman of God sitting there teaching them what it really meant, they obtained them, they heard them. And then as the years went by, getting closer and closer to the inception of the promise, they walked closer and closer to it. And then eventually the wise men came to Jerusalem. Daniel chapter 9. You know, there's something so cool about Daniel. One of the things was that he faithfully prayed for Israel. Yeah, he did. Daniel chapter 9, I'd like to read verses 1 to 3. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Assyrus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Israel had walked away from God. That's why that Judea was taken captive by Babylon in Daniel chapter 1. That's where Daniel stepped into the Babylonian kingdom as part of the captured Judeans. This was many years previous, and this is why they were taken into captivity into Babylon. Daniel continued to pray for Israel and the Judean believers and for them coming back to God's word. And during this time of captivity, Daniel never stopped believing and worshiping God and praying for them. Daniel never stopped believing in his righteousness before God. What an amazing person that he stayed faithful no matter what he experienced or where he lived, even with Nebuchadnezzar changing his name to an idolatrous name that went better with Nebuchadnezzar's idolatrous God. Yeah. Well, here in Daniel chapter 9, after reading this, Gabriel visits Daniel. Daniel's praying. Daniel prayed a lot. He prayed 3 times a day at least. He prayed a lot. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, Gabriel visits Daniel, the angel Gabriel. So in verse 20, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Well, this record of Daniel praying, this record right here, also includes a visit from Gabriel. And then in chapter 10, I'd like to read verses 4-7, because I want to tell you a little bit about Gabriel and a little bit about what happened here while Daniel was praying. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 4, "And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." And verse 7, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." And so this was Daniel praying. This was Angel Gabriel meeting him. And this is what Daniel saw. He alone saw that. So Daniel was given, now he was given understanding of this vision that he saw. Well, he was praying for it. And this is part of what happened in the Babylonian kingdom. Yes, it was after the lion's den. It was after the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. This was all part of the wise men of Nebuchadnezzar and then also of Darius learning things about God, about his word, seeing Daniel in action. And in verse 18 through 21, I want to read that in Daniel chapter 10, because Daniel was praying for understanding concerning this vision that he's receiving. He saw this vision that I didn't read the whole vision. I read a little bit about it, because you can go back and study this on your own and see more detail about that part of it. But he was praying for understanding concerning this vision he received. This vision was about the end of the slavery of Israel in Babylon, because they've been taken into slavery. It also was about the promise of the King Jesus that would be coming. And that's what I want to read right now, verses 18 to 21 of Daniel chapter 10. And I want to read it in light of these wise men of Babylon being made aware of something that was coming in the future. In verse 18, "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man," that was Gabriel again, "and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved," and Daniel was greatly beloved of God. So were Noah and Job. They were greatly beloved of God, and God saved all of them. You know what Noah went through? Only 8 people lived through that one. And what Job went through, he lost everything, but he got it all back and more. They never lost their righteousness. They were beloved of God. God loves those that believe in their righteousness and hold it fast. He said, "Fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee?" You know, Gabriel talking to Daniel. "And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia." There's all kinds of spiritual fights going on out there that we don't see, but they're being fought right now on our behalf to protect us. And then Gabriel said, "And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." So these angels, those fallen spirit men that are still over those 69 of areas that were split up and separated at the Tower of Babel. That's who this is speaking of. And there's a lot of fighting going on. They're always fighting over their land. They're fighting. They got people fighting and wars and all that stuff. But Gabriel was involved with this. But he stopped, came and talked to Daniel. And he said in verse 21, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." This was Gabriel, Michael, and Daniel. They all believed the same things, but Gabriel was going to give understanding to Daniel about what Gabriel and Michael believed in. And now Daniel was going to be shown that. And Daniel held that fast in his heart. He held fast to his righteousness. Righteousness is what really is right, what really is true, what really is going to happen, the way things really are. The angels Gabriel and Michael, they believed in the promise of God concerning the dream Daniel had and what information he was about to receive. Daniel already had this dream. Gabriel now would show Daniel what Daniel's vision meant. And I want to show that to you in part because this teaching is not focused on all the nuances of it. It's only laying out a big picture so that you can understand more about the wise man and when they actually appeared in Matthew chapter 2. Daniel chapter 9, verse 23 to 25, verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. So when Daniel started praying at the beginning of his prayer for Israel, for their sins, and for God's protection on them, for God's deliverance for them from slavery, the commandment came forth. God told Gabriel to go and show Daniel the dream. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Isn't that amazing that he would say that? Whoa, that he would say that? That was the second time that Gabriel said that Daniel was beloved. That really establishes it. Verse 19 of chapter 10, it said, and then here in chapter 9, verse 23, it says that Daniel's greatly beloved. But here it says, now understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined unto thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. The 70 weeks speaking of here can be translated 77s. And 70 times 7 is the 490 years. Jesus would redeem mankind from their sins, making an end of sins. Daniel's vision while he was praying was prophecy of the coming of the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. Daniel was waiting for the king to come, Jesus. He was waiting for him. Daniel told everyone in the Babylon kingdom about God, the Babylonian kingdom, about God, about the kingdom and the king, Jesus. Daniel believed in and was waiting for the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is how the Babylonian wise man came to learn, understand, and believe in the promise of God that a new king was going to be over Israel. This interaction between Daniel and the king's wise men, it's in the great part where they learned about the coming of Jesus Christ. Daniel was able to teach God's word to the magicians, the astrologers, the soothsayers, the Chaldeans, all those people at this time. And so did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I just think it's absolutely incredible. And what a foundation that we've been able to understand and lay in God's word concerning this. Well, there was another promise of that God made because God was revealing things to Daniel big time. In verse 13 of Daniel chapter 12, there's a promise made to Daniel that he would be standing in the end of times. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 13, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. This was another thing that Gabriel told Daniel, was that he would have rest and he would be standing at the end of days. Daniel believed this all of his life. That was his hope. He taught it to all around him. He believed that he was righteous and it would not be taken away from him, that God promised him and God made him that way. Righteous before him. And Daniel continued to stand on God's word. And when he took his last breath, because Jesus Christ hadn't come at that time, it was still almost 500 years away. He hadn't come at that time. And the day of Pentecost certainly hadn't happened. The gift of Holy Spirit had not been made available. We're the gift by grace. But Daniel, by his works and by his belief, was able to stand a lifetime, and he believed his whole lifetime that he would be at the resurrection. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Daniel's lifetime was 500 years before Jesus was born, but he still believed in Jesus' first coming. Even though it did not happen during his lifetime, he had hope that it would. That was the first hope. Daniel understood about this promised Redeemer. He also understood about the end of days. The time of grace that we live in now, it had not yet been revealed. And we know this because we know God's word in the epistles and the word that was received after the day of Pentecost. This time of grace that we live in now, it just hadn't been revealed. Daniel's whole life and stand on God's word was an incredible example to the wise men of Babylon, so much so that the Babylonian magicians and astrologers began studying and following the signs written in the stars and in the planetary movements. Their wisdom and understanding concerning this timing, concerning the hope of the King Jesus, it was largely due to Daniel's influence in the Babylonian kingdom. And that's where I'll stop in this teaching. We'll continue it on in the Babylonian wise men's travel to Jerusalem.